Yo, what's going on, everyone? It's Brian and Jimmy here, drinking beer and playing a game, and welcome to another episode of the Power Hour podcast.
Yes, hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 278. Thank you for joining us tonight on this special Sick Boy cast, because Brian and I are both messed up.
Jamers, you have been a busy little beaver the past week and a half. And I want to say thank you. You covered last week, so it wasn't because I was sick last week. I was actually on my way home from work and didn't even get to my house till probably 8 or 8:30 at night. So I was like, yeah, I can't do the podcast tonight. And by that point, it was already Thursday. Yeah, so it was already Thursday. So we're like, all right, Jim, we'll just do a solo. I enjoyed listening to it. I enjoyed, Jim, as someone who edits, I love the cuts that you even did of yourself. Like, I could tell you either must have went off on a tangent or said something, and you just cut, and then you're like still talking about the same subject. So I enjoyed those.
Oh yeah, there's a few where it's just like I just went off on such a tangent, but for the most part, it was just me like my brain blanking out, and it would just be like a space there, or of course my burps. I tried to take the burps out for once. All right, I tried to be presentable. That's why there is a lot of burp cuts in there.
And yet you welcome them so freely when I'm editing, you son of a bitch.
Right. You're welcome.
You son of a bitch. No, so good job covering it last week, Chambers. But Chambers, we also got invited on to our good buddy Nerdy Next, and you took the helm with that as I edited your video. So let the people know, what did you guys talk about? Because I enjoyed the beginning of it quite a bit.
Head on over to the N Squared podcast where you can check out my little appearance last night. We talked a lot. So we talked horror movies. We talked 2018's Halloween soft reboot. We talked Scary Movie. We talked the premiere of Dragon Ball Daima. Nick followed up on his escapades from the week before to start off the show. I didn't have a lot to say at that part. And what do you call it? I'm actually like blanking. We talked about so much. We went through what we've been playing, what we were drinking that night. Of course, much like tonight, and with how I'm feeling, I'm being a little bitchy boy and just drinking some H2O. So, no booze a haul for me. I talked about how I also drank way too much over the weekend, so that also contributed to it.
Nothing new there, Jim.
Right. There's only so much liver detox that a man can take, all right?
Only so much milk thistle?
Only so much milk thistle. But my God, does it do yeoman's work.
Jim, what I loved is,
much like me, it is the workhorse of this body, Brian. It's the only thing keeping it together.
When Nick started, as you said, following up on his escapade that got him in some hot water, your face, I do feel like we're an old married couple, because I actually typed in a chat. I was like, when Jim gets nervous, he blinks uncontrollably, and I think you blinked like every half second. You're just like, blink, 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 just blink, saying blink. Nothing.
What do I
not
say?
Even
what
staring
do I do?
Blankly. You're just like, oh no, oh no.
this is happening. Ah, fuck.
But I always do enjoy catching you on there. And Nick, thank you for the invite as always. My favorite part about that episode wasn't even the episode. It was the lead up to Nick asking Jim if he's seen any horror movies, and every other thing's like, nope, haven't seen it. I might have seen that.
Our group chat.
Not really sure.
Nah, it's been a while since I've seen that. Oh, no, I can't talk about that one. And then the one I bring up, he's like, oh, I don't like that one. It's like, fuck, God.
Yeah, of all the episodes for me to not go on, granted, if I had went on, it probably would have been another 2 hours.
6 hour episode, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah,
it would have been like an inverse where instead of where Nick and I nerded out about Dragon Ball, it would have just been all straight horror.
Yeah. You know, manly shit.
How dare you, sir? Nothing more manly than Dragon Ball.
I mean, maybe Broly. Everyone else can fuck off.
Don't you dare.
Listen, Jim, I've hitched to his wagon. That's my only reference for Dragon Ball moving forward.
Vic Mignogna is gonna rape you, Bri. No, bro.
Damn it! I don't know who that is, and I don't want to know.
He's Broly's voice actor, and he was a big name in the Me Too movement during the anime side voice acting.
Like he did bad stuff. You mean
it was like all of his coworkers say he's a creep, and like it's kind of like an open secret at conventions that he's just like. Everyone kind of thinks he's creepy. I mean, it's like, I don't know. If I was a famous guy, I'd probably try to use it to get laid, too. But, like, apparently his coworkers didn't like him. And at one point, he tried to sue Funimation for, which is the parent company for the dubs, for, I just blanked on the word because my brain ain't braining right now. Like defamation and some other stuff, and that kind of got thrown out. That was the whole thing with Nick Ricada and like a bunch of drunk lawyers spilling too many beans, and yeah, it wasn't the strongest legal strategy.
Oh, okay.
Right, there is history and lore to be found.
See, this is why I don't go down these rabbit holes, Jim.
I don't dive into it.
I just can't.
Right. Coming from the guy who just jumped into an Asmongold rabbit hole.
Oh, Christ. I was going to pick that as the segment to have you really describe. And then while waiting for you, I went down enough of a rabbit hole where I found out enough of the guy. And I'm like, wow. All right. I got what I needed in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. You know more about him right now than I do. Like, I know that he's a huge like top 10 streamer. I know he's a dirtball and lives in abject or like not poverty, but filth. And yeah, he got himself in some hot water and he got kicked off Twitch today as we record on the 15th. So,
I think it takes a certain mentality, to be a streamer, and it's like, you're either completely eccentric and an introvert or an extrovert. Like that dude, who just had John Cena on,
I can't do the whole streamer thing. I just can't do Twitch streams and stuff like that.
I don't watch any Twitch streams, but I see clips like on IG, Facebook, all that shit, or even like, I guess, YouTube shorts. And some of these streamers, yeah, they're getting straight up celebrities. Like,
oh yeah,
they had Kevin Hart, John Cena. Like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, okay. Like, but the energy these guys must put out, like, they are so on that I'm like, Jesus.
They're not human. I'll give them that. It's why I can't stand them, but it's also, like, why I'll never be that level of success on there either.
I'll give them more credit than Asmongold, where I was like, I said, like you said, he purposely lives in filth, clearly makes bank like a son of a bitch. I don't know what the appeal is. Having never watched his videos or his streams, that's nothing on the quality of his content. I don't know what he even streams or does. Like, I don't know.
He just does commentary.
Oh, okay. Well, it is what it is.
I could be wrong. I know he does a lot of commentary on top of just doing like normal gaming streams and shit.
That's why I like my peeks into the internet, Jim. I just like to just poke my head in and be like, what's this mess? Okay, I've seen enough.
Right. You don't want to be just like me, Bri? You don't want to look at this and be like, man, that's a goal there. Look how happy he is. The internet has not spoiled him at all.
Jim, you've been nothing but pure happiness for a decade.
I know, and every day's been better than the day before.
Well, unlike you, Chambers, I did see yesterday I was giving you shit about drinking water. I haven't drank in quite a while, but I don't care. I'm having my NyQuil after this anyway. I'm going with the new Trail Brewing's Zombies Are People Too, which is, I think I had on a couple episodes ago. It's still like the only new pumpkin beer I got this season so far, because I still have been going through like as much as I can my old shit from last year. But 5.7% maple syrup, vanilla, pumpkin spices. Bless you.
Thank you.
This is one of those ones. Thank God they don't have a whole blurb. Cool little can design, you know, the zombie arm reaching out there. Bless you. I like it. I said this is way, way more subtle than other pumpkin beers, and the maple syrup actually gives you that like that sugary kind of like lips and tongue feel. Like, you know, when you have too much of a sugary beer.
Right,
so
in the butt.
So I'm only like a few sips in, and I'm already getting that like that.
You're getting that film.
Yeah, like it's real quick. So, as Jim said though, I'm sick, so if my voice seems extra raspy, and I'm gonna do like Jim, I'm gonna try to turn away from the mic when I cough. Maybe this will coat it. Maybe the syrup will coat my throat. Maybe I found a cure to whatever the hell I have. I don't know.
It'll be like drinking honey, just with a little more extra for you.
Hey, you know what?
With the little bit extra to make all the bad thoughts go away.
Yeah. Jim, you can't tell me you've never had a hot toddy to get you over a little head cold once in a while.
Yeah, things help. I've dabbled.
Speaking of dabbling, Jamers, even though I've heard it, let our audience know, what you been playing this past week?
A whole shitload of not a lot, because I've just been a busy, busy boy, but the Slay the Spire quest continues to just try and... Dude, like, every... So, I'm still stuck in Ascension 20 with the one character. The other Ascensions, it took me, like, maybe a day. I think the longest one took me, like, maybe 3 or 4 days before I finally got through. I'm up to, like, 3 fucking weeks on this one, trying to get past. And it's just mean. It's just goddamn mean. You can't do 2 final bosses in a row. You just can't do that. Jesus Christ. And, like, I'm trying to, like, plan my, like, build around having to go through that, like, you know, gamut at the end. So it's like I wound up taking more risks to try and like use cards I know will be better later in the early game. So I'm just dying a shitload in the early game more now because, you know, I get a little penis-y and I'm like, all right, either I have a great build or I'm dead. And 9 times out of 10, I'm dead. So I've made it to the second boss a couple of times and it's just like I'm dead in 3 hits. I'm just like, fuck.
I heard on Nick's on the N Squared podcast. Last week you were at like 180 hours, and this week you're at like 215.
It's a problem. Jimmy's got a problem.
Damn.
I mean, that's
impressive.
This is like childhood level of addiction to a game that I have.
So
it's not, it's not even fun anymore. It's just like a goal. I have to hit the goal.
You just want to get it done.
Yes. Yeah. God. But besides that, not to cut you off, but I'm going to be start to dabble this week into Berserk Boy, our final Patreon review request. So it is, for those who don't know, it was a Kickstarter project that is a love letter to the Mega Man X series of games, which means it's going to be a nightmare for me because I suck at Mega Man X, or all Mega Man, really. So, yeah, always appreciate the support, so I'll be getting around to that. What about you, Brian? What you been playing?
Nice. Well, like I said, last week I was on travel for the first half of the week, and then I actually did manage a stream, and thank you guys so much. Don't deserve it, but I always appreciate how many people do show up on the random times I stream. I am dedicated to coming back this Thursday night. Been going through and doing the achievements in Dead by Daylight. I did some more Postal too, but once again, I have to figure something out. I've never had a game have the footage get so fucked up. Versus, like, I've recorded plenty of things off of my computer while playing on my computer. It's definitely not an issue with the computer. I just don't know what the issue is with, like, maybe it's a frame rate or something.
I noticed that it automatically fucks with the resolution. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to figure something. Like, one way or another, I'm going to get the footage. But, like, I play for, like, an hour, and then I checked it. I'm like, oh, cool, that's all unusable. So,
Wonderful.
One way or another, I don't care if I just have to do literally a screen cap and do that annoying way. I will do that. So I want to get that done. As I said, I'm going through with cheats because it's more about, like, I've played the game and beat it legit, so has Jim. I just need the footage just so we can talk over it. Because that'll be our next review. But you know,
right? Would you say every time? Would you say every time you try to record it, the game goes "fuck you"?
I would say that, Jim, with a very interesting silencer.
Those who know.
And then yeah, so this Thursday actually, there's a new game, two new games that came out. One was by Torture Star, the same company that does a lot of the Puppet Combo games. And the other one was mentioned by them. I don't know if they did it, but, like, it's another horror, so I'll probably stream one of them. And, yeah, make sure you guys come check it out on Thursday. I always enjoy how many people come out and see me do good or really bad at a game. So, but, yeah, as Jim said, I can't wait to also start dipping my toes in a Berserk Boy. And we wouldn't be doing these reviews if it weren't for our awesome patrons, so Jambers, what questions we got this week?
Right, we ain't got none.
That's, you know what? That's okay.
That, but you know, for what? For how we feel, that's perfectly fine, actually. It's the best week for it. But for anyone out there who wants to put some questions into this Power Hour podcast, make sure you head on over to patreon.com/drinkabeerplaygame, where for as little as $2 a month, you can ask a question that we answer on each and every single one of these Power Hour episodes. Last week when I recorded, I also did a new Krusty Corner, so We try to do those every once in a while to get up there as bonus content for as little as a dollar. We have game review requests, bonus episodes, movie review requests, all that kind of good stuff over there. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube, make sure to head over to the other platforms. Leave us some subscriptions, Leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. Anything you can do can and will help the page. And speaking of helping, why not help yourself? Head on over to ghettogamer.net and use the code DBPG. We actually have a direct link in the in any of the descriptions below. And yeah, you can get 20% off your first order.
Yeah, I've said it before. If I didn't just have such a mindset of I need to finish games, I've already identified a few games that I really want to get from there. So go check out his collection, Super NES, NES games, really good prices. And he's a buddy of the show, so any support, we'd appreciate it. Don't forget, use the code DBPG. And thank you to our patrons. Like Jim said, get your questions in there. Whether Jim posts it or not, you know what? You can always just send it to us as well. And we always appreciate the support, guys. So, Chambers, and something I've seen that I was like, ooh, I got to add a little topic, because we haven't talked just straight beer without it being weird shit or a lawsuit in quite a while.
It's almost never interesting, so.
No. So, this one, it's not a very long article. It's from gearpatrol.com, and it. The title is that beer experts just declared this the best brewery in America. And what this is they go into the fact that there's the Great American Beer Festival that hosts over 285 judges with over 8,800 beers from over 2,000 brewers. And the first thing that I find really interesting is that the number of U.S. breweries currently sits at 9,900 as of 2023. Jesus. And it was only at 4,800 in 2015.
Oh, my God.
We've talked about the boom in the beer industry, but that's huge. So
eventually, you got to think that there's, like, you know, like a peak that you can have. Like, there's only so many beers that can be made. There can only be so many breweries without, like, I mean, I don't know, man. The beer, that's also the thing, though. The beer crowd is the one that, like, that will just go out of their way to try everything, too, though. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, I look at it like,
and I mean, some breweries are just like a hole in the wall kind of place. Like, I'm sure if you're counting every single one, like, a lot of these start very, very small.
Well, they not only do they start small, but think about it. How many breweries have we talked about? Like, especially once COVID hit, like, oh, I can't believe this one shut down. But like a friggin' Hydra head, like one or two failed and a few more popped up, or like. We're seeing around us, like, think about Wildwood. Think about that area around Mudhen. Like, breweries are starting to pop up more and more in that small-ass area. And, yeah, there is going to be a saturation point where you're like, how many different ways can you make an IPA? I mean, 9,900 breweries in just the U.S., that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But at the Great American Beer Festival, which one day I do want us to go to, They tasted all types of different beers, but the winningest of the bunch is the Highland Park Brewery, which I'd never heard of, out of L.A., of all places. And they came home with 4 gold medals in their American-style India Pale Ale, their contemporary American-style lager, their American-style Pale Ale, and their juicy or hazy Imperial IPA. So that's pretty crazy. And I've never heard of this brewery. Whenever I see stuff like this, my mind goes right to, because, like, previously Allagash was the big winner at these things.
Were they?
They win all the time there. And they're ones that you can get kind of anywhere. So I'm really curious if you're able to actually, like, buy these. Or if they're going to start being more high. Like, I don't know if a win at these things translates to, like, significantly more sales or really anything. But you and I have talked about this. Like, with breweries, like, New Trail is a perfect example. It's blown up in the past 2 years in PA. It's, like, one of the hottest PA breweries.
Yeah.
But, like, you almost don't want them to get too big, because then you worry about, is the quality of their beer going to start to suffer? So it's, like, that sweet, like, you almost have to accept the FOMO of being a beer lover. You're never going to try everything. And even the shit that, like, if we said to someone, you should have tried like a 2012 Mad Elf versus a today, they're not going to get it. Like there is a taste difference. There's something different to it. So it's like a very fleeting thing that, I don't know. It's very unique.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I'm ever in the LA region, then I'll definitely have to try and get down there now. I'm sure their business is about to boom with everyone trying to see the hottest new spot. I do have a nitpick here, Brian.
Go on.
Does every brewer have to look like this guy? And I'm not trying to take away from this dude. But like...
He does.
Every...
I mean, I'll put the picture
people,
up. But...
The picture will be up on YouTube for the audio portion. Click the link below. But I mean, it's the baseball cap, glasses, beard, long scraggly hair. Look. And if you've been to one brewery, you've been to 1,000, and they all have one guy that looks like that.
You know, is hipster even still really a thing anymore?
I don't think it can be, because it's so, like, just that it's, whole vibe is just...
It's like it's a just, thing, right?
It's just a version of a guy at this point.
That's my point. And, like, yeah, that guy is in every brewery. And... I don't, you know, whether he's a head brewer or not, I'm not sure. But, like, why is that the look? Like, you know, like, you see certain people. Like the joke of, like, the dad with the khaki shorts. You know, what are the shoes that you have?
What, the Crocs?
No, not the Crocs.
The New Balances? My Newbies?
The New Balance. Like, why is that such a thing? Like, I'm so curious. Like, do you think it's just all these people are that like-minded, or they get into the sphere and they're like, I need to now look like, I can't decide which is which.
It really is like a hippie with a job. Like what in the 90s we associated with a hippie. It's like Mr. Van Driesen, like the teacher from Beavis and Butthead. Imagine him, but as a guy who runs a beer place. And like, it's just thousands of them spread across the country. Making their beers, calling it Lesbian Siegel, just everywhere. It's an infestation. There has to be a Lesbian Siegel beer at this point. If there isn't, I might shit myself.
There's 9,900 breweries, and a lot of beers get retired. So, yeah, I would not go against you, Jim. I'm sure there probably is. But either way, I am looking into their actual site.
There's no Lesbian Siegel, but there is a Dyke beer, so there's that.
Well, I mean, sounds like you have a new beer to make, Jim.
I have a new beer to try. We have to go back to the culture war videos, Brian.
So, unfortunately, Chambers, it looks like we would not be able to order. They do ship in California, but they don't seem to be shipping out here unless they have a wider distribution, because it piques my interest. I kind of want to see what the best rated beer is. And all then right. We would right. have it and go, meh. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, another IPA. Oh, boy. Oh, man, you can really taste the orange in this hazy. Never had that before. But, hey, you know what? Any of our L.A. or California-based fans out there, maybe send something to your favorite boys out here? Huh? Maybe.
Yeah, I think we got it. I think we got to hit up a few of them and just throw some dollars their way and say, buy it for us and ship it, please.
Do it.
So... Chambers, that was my little... I just wanted to give you a little taste, a little something interesting before we get right into the anger, because if there's one thing gamers
Right. Speaking of dykes, what did they do to Lara Croft? How is that for a transition?
That was... All right. I see what you did there. Jim. This one took me by surprise. I hadn't seen anything about it, so as soon as I read... what you had as a topic, I was like, what? And then I looked and I went, oh God. And one, I didn't even know there was a Tomb Raider show.
I had no idea. Until this outrage, I had no idea there's a Tomb Raider show coming out.
Like, I love that all these video games are now getting this like anime style thing on Netflix. Like you got Castlevania, you got this, you had the return of the fucking, not Hercules, He-Man.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting that they wrote a whole article on thegamer.com to talk about the outrage people are doing. And all they seem to do is be able to point to basically this one guy, this Eat Dixon Die.
I wonder if this is a serious account, Brian.
Okay, Jim, I'm putting up the photo he put up with the circles, and I'm putting it for the context so people know, is the argument is that this guy's making, and apparently other people are saying, is like, she looks too manly. And he's saying by her arms, her waist, her forearm of all things, and her chin. What I will say is, before seeing his squiggles, the chin is the only thing that I didn't notice. And once I see it, now I'm like, the chin, I don't even think it's manly. I think it's just kind of weird looking. It's like way too pointy.
Right.
But I don't think it's, like I said, I don't consider that manly. I just, I'm like, that fucks me up looking at it now. Now I'm kind of like, all right. But I mean, here's the thing. When you look at Lara Croft, you go, is this picture or the other ones are doing, it looks like her. I don't see the, I don't see it as overtly muscular. Like, I don't know. Maybe I, there's something I'm missing, but then it's funny because I saw I saw a bunch of people like do like, here's a quick edit. And I'm not going to lie, the quick edit, I'm like, oh, that makes more sense. And then I go back to the original picture. I'm like, oh, maybe I, okay, she's just more broader shouldered than I thought. Like, there is something that where it didn't hit me until you see comparisons. Then you go, oh, okay. I would say the people that are more mad are actually the people, the defenders of this, not even the guy himself.
Well, no, they fell for bait. Like, you look at the guy's fucking, this Eat, Dicks, and Die guy, and his, like, bio is problematic personified shit poster extraordinaire, head of the four players ball. You know, so he's a shit, he's a proto shit poster. He's trying to, you know, get his name into the thing. And he did, like, how it works is, like, there's a guy out there named, like, Rivellino, I think that's how you say his name, who got famous by, with the straight line test. So, like, anytime there's a couple together and whoever's leaning, like, they're considered the beta in the relationship. So, the, like, the assholes in the manosphere kind of thing will be, like, circling around, like, you know, women and pointing out what's wrong with them. Like, you know, there's our, people like our buddy Ryan Stone who are, like, you know, just trying to give advice. And then there's, like, the fresh and fit kind of crew who just, like, badmouth everyone and, like, call everyone betas and unbreedable and shit like that. And they'll do this kind of cross-off kind of thing. So he's definitely doing a play on that, and everyone's just falling for bait, basically. Like, I mean, I looked at the character design, and I was like, yeah, that looks fine. Like, could they have avoided any kind of controversy at all and given her Haley Atwell's tits? Like, you know, she's doing the voiceover? Yes. And I would have welcomed this. I would have had no problem with that, Brian. But, I mean, for the build, yeah, it's a build the fucking spelunking adventurer would have. So it's like, whatever. She still looks good.
Yeah.
There's clips out there where you can see tasteful side boob. Like, I'm a fan of his tasteful side boob. So I saw that and I went, Jim, good with me.
Don't ever say tasteful side boob again.
What? Why can't I say tasteful side boob?
Listen, Jim, if there's one thing I've learned through you is that if you don't make your character sexy enough to gamer guys, the guys are going to complain. And
very true.
I don't know. Like I, once again, I didn't look at it and think, I saw something obviously wrong, and then, it, like, as you said it, someone did put that poster like the voice actor, and it was Haley Atwell, and then it's like the character, and it was an even more unflattering photo, I'll say, of two random. I'm like, ah, like, okay, yep. you're like, God damn it, all right.
Yep. Or they're the Batman meme going, where are they?
I mean, and let's
there,
not.
There's lulls to be had.
Let's not be coy and act like when Tomb Raider was designed originally, it wasn't ridiculous. And that's also part of the popularity.
Yeah. Ridiculous? Yes. Selling point? Yes. Like,
yes.
There's a region Angelina Jolie got the fucking role. God knows she couldn't pull off the accent. No one's there for that.
And that's the thing is I thought back to that. I'm like, even Angelina Jolie, they made her look enhanced. She wasn't enough for the role. So You're like, okay. And then, like, you know, when the remake game came out, what was that, like 2013 or whatever?
Yeah.
I remember that was kind of
more realistic. Big,
like, Yeah, it was more realistic, but like I feel like it was very tame. And now with this show, I feel like okay, like I don't know. Who's sadder in this though, Jim? The people that are like uber defensive of falling into this bait, or if there is people up there genuinely upset about the design?
I mean, that's just two sides of the same coin right there. I don't know, because being legitimately mad about the design is just like, man, that's pathetic. But then when you're like the kind of person who just sits online all day going, I have to own the Chuds, I have to own the Chuds, and just responding to every single fucking thread like this, it's like, just go outside. Like, I hate the term touch grass, but these are the, if you're either one of those, you're the ones you need to go out and touch grass. Or a boob. You know, Brian, we're retiring touch grass. We're going to introduce touch boob.
Touch boob. You know what? I think most people can get behind that.
And I think it cuts a little more.
And if you don't, then touch grass.
Yeah. But then don't. And then still touch boob. Guy, girl, in between. Doesn't matter. Everyone loves boobs.
But yeah.
Oh, girls don't want to touch boobs. Oh, really? Have you not been at a bar?
Damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Damn it, Jim. It's one of the few times you're right. But you know what, Jim? You might be right, but you are so fucking wrong for sending me this goddamn next thing. Because I had to read what you know what? You just explain it, because I'm not even going to try to.
Well, Bri, this blew up over the past week, and oh, did it blow up in a big way. So the account is CentroLeaks. I got to shout out to good old Todd Howard Stan for sending this our way. Bri, he always finds us some of the spicier stuff out there. So the original account is called Centro Pokemon. Oh, my God. It's in Moonspeak. All right. Translate. Digital
the
publication.
Fuck is Moonspeak?
Anything I can't read. Digital publication of news and information from the Pokemon world. It's probably just Spanish. It says, like, publicación. Digital de noticias e información del mundo Pokemon.
All the dumb shit I've ever heard you say, Moonspeak is different.
But, yeah, so from a Pokemon publication site, they have a Pokemon leak site. And they've been leaked. Apparently, there's been some hacker out there who just hacked the shit out of some database and found all this goddamn information on new movies, new character sprites, new models, new games that they're in development for. I was trying to go to like the original post of this account, and within the last 2 days they've posted like 400 times of all legitimately different information. So they're just data dumping like crazy. Like, you are eating good if you're like a huge Pokemon fan or a pervert, because Brian, apparently there has been almost, can we say, canon fan fiction in these Pokemon games, embedded.
Before you go on, that's the part I want you to explain to me. So it's unofficial, or it's official fan fiction. Does that mean it's like not authorized, the wrong word, but it's approved by?
No. It's not approved. Okay. It's written by people who write the games. Who write the stories of the game.
So it's like, it's basically the legit writers now writing this kind of shit.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the writers writing this kind of stuff. And for some reason, embedded in the files of the game, like maybe it was just in a folder of all this tech shit that they had, but apparently this like got pulled from an official Pokemon, I think, game. Again, I was trying to find exactly which one it got taken from. I couldn't find that, but. Yeah, like, from what everyone on the internet's saying, like, official writers, and, of course, it's the female writers writing this, you know, incesty, crossbreeding, fucking bestiality fan fiction with Pokemon. Bri, Rusty Cage was right. White girls fuck dogs. He was never wrong. It's a banger of a song for a reason. But, so. And all the different themes, like one, the first one that we have down here, and there's several, Original Sin, based on the current Pokemon world, which is a lovely story of a girl who would have friends and they would go out hunting and they would catch Cyclops and kill them and skin them and throw them in a lake. Until one day she got attacked, she woke up and later gave birth to a sackcloth of her own to where her friends came, saw the sackcloth while she was sleeping, thought, oh, another one, killed her poor baby and threw it in there until the girl went and drowned herself. Brian.
As someone who's not intimately familiar with Pokemon, I had to look up what a sackcloth is. And I'm like, it's a fucking sloth.
It's a sloth.
Of all the things that could get you, a sloth, like, there's so many layers of fucked upness to this. So basically, she was knocked out and assaulted while she was asleep, gave birth to this, and like you said, her friend kills her baby, and that gets her so upset that she has to run back into the forest and drown herself in this this lake surrounded by the corpses of all these animals that they tortured and beat up over the years. And this was all in hopes that the woman's friends began to treat the sackcloth as companions.
Yep.
What the... Like, this guy needs to be locked up immediately. Like, a normal mind doesn't come up with this shit.
Right?
That's why
right?
I always said, like,
woman.
You know...
The mind of a woman. That's why true crime's so popular, Brian. It's the mind of a woman. It's why Fabio had a job for 30 years.
But this is my point, right? Like, there's layers, right? We all, if you don't have a certain thing in your stomach where you're playing Fallout and you can go right to bombing Megaton and have no conscience about it, you're probably pretty fucked up.
You should be on a watch.
If there's a, yeah, if you do the thing where you're like, all right, I'll play through a regular way, but then I'll do this, but I'll still feel bad. Okay. Anyone who writes us type of shit, you're on a list. I'm sorry. Like, there's something deeply fucked up with you. And it's like, I can't, Jim. I won't do it.
So one of my favorite parts of this, besides like people being like there's one about Typhlosion and everyone's like, no, not Typhlosion. He's the best starter from Gen 3 or whatever fucking one it is. It's, you know, it's so hard to even find this first tweet now. Because the internet is now flooded with accounts going, what the hell? I've been writing Pokemon fan fiction for years. If you like this, read mine. And it's just every anime profile picture in the world posting all their awful Pokemon fan fiction, trying to hop it on the hashtag and the trending topic. Like, we don't care about the actual fan fiction for as fucked up as it is. It's run of the mill, basically. It's because it's by the official writers and was stuck inside a Pokemon game somewhere. That's why people care. No one wants to read your shit.
All right, Jim.
Weirdos.
You know what, Jim? I'm going to have you try to explain to me something right now.
Okay.
This is like, so the normie view versus, I'm going to call it the Jim view.
All right.
Maybe it shouldn't be called the Jim view. All right. Truly explain to me, because I can't. And I'm not saying this for any reason other than I truly can't. Like, the people that, like, what's the rule? You said Rule 34 or...
Oh, yes. Rule 34.
Okay.
Right. Rule 34. For those who don't know, and unless you're Brian, you probably do know. If there is something out there, there is a porno version of it.
So, it's like, that's weird enough to me with, like, cartoon shit. But then add a layer of animals. And Pokemon. Are people doing it to just be outrageous, or do you really think there's a subsect of, like, that's it for them? Like, I don't get people, Jim. You all right?
You know what, Brian? Brian. I can make this very, very simple for you.
Mm-hmm.
The furry community is known for having, when they have their conventions and shit like that, for having just massive degenerate sex orgies. And they do it in their costumes. They will have slots cut open or special ones for these orgies where they can get the genitals out there and have all the fun bits, but they're keeping in costume during it, Bri.
Okay, but here's my question about that. Are they doing it because they're basically going around with mobile glory holes because they feel they're too ugly to do it otherwise.
I mean, it's could be possibly that. It could be just, you know, that's what gets them off. It's role play. It's
I don't care. No, that's
all rolled into one, Bri. It's all rolled into. It's like drugs. How drugs, like, weed got a lot less fun when it wasn't as illegal anymore. So it's like, yeah, it's still fun to do, but it's like, yeah, where's that sense of danger?
Damn it, Jim. Did you just try to make a connection with people who smoke weed to furries?
No, I'm just saying the danger side of it. Because furries, if you're fucking, if you're in a fox outfit getting ass fucked by five other foxes and, like, I don't know, a fucking My Little Pony, there's got to be a thing of, oh, God, what if someone finds out? So there's a danger for you. Look, Bri, I'm not one to sit here and judge people going out there and yiffing, all right? But
what the fuck? You know what? Actually, I don't want to know. I don't even want to know what yiffing is.
Bri, dictionary.com defines yiffing as a sexual intercourse between furries. Yiff in hell or yiff in hell? Oh, whoa, I can't read the rest of that. Oh, boy, that took a turn. But yiff is a slang term used in the furry fandom to refer to pornographic content of anthropomorphic animal characters. It is considered a tongue-in-cheek term to furry fandom. It is also used as a way to insult members of the furry fandom, and it's in the phrase yiff in hell. So there you go,
Let me
learned
ask
something
you
else today.
So then technically anyone who writes this type of shit and is into this type of shit, are they automatically basically furries?
No, they're not automatically furries, because you have to go through, like, you know, you have to be a furry to, like, be a furry. You have to get in the costume and do the setup and all that shit. But I'm not going to say that, right, I'm not going to say that every bestiality fanfic writer is a furry, but every furry probably is a bestiality fanfic writer.
Jim, I legit thought you were about to be like, you know, you have to go through the training before, you can't just become one. You got to, like, and right. I just imagine you doing a montage. You know what? We need to film you doing a montage of Jim's furry adventures.
No. Can't afford a costume like that. Come on now.
You still got the gorilla costume, right?
No, that got chucked in the mouth.
Oh, you
that was,
son of a bitch.
That was, oh man, was I a secret furry the whole time? I wore that like 10 Halloweens in a row.
I think you were.
I was being Donkey Kong, though. I'm not a yiffer.
Damn it, Jim. Oh, fuck. I just read this, and, like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, whoever. And do we know who actually wrote this?
No, I don't know if they tied them all to one person. But I think that, like, some of them did some extrapolation and saw that, like, I guess whoever is right, or maybe they did. Hold on, I can go back through it. But I'm pretty sure they found at least like a file that showed like who was the authors writing these files. So I don't know if it was a one-to-one connection for who did which one, but there are names there listed with them.
Well, and in Centro Leaks it says, what the fuck, Game Freak? Who is Game Freak?
Game Freak is the parent company. They're like the actual developer of Pokemon games.
Okay. Well, We have the whole little clip and a link. If you want to torture yourself, I would suggest don't do it. I read it, and I couldn't unread it, so...
Right.
Damn it, Jim.
Right. We can use your famous term. Some people are torturing themselves, but some people just like their cucumbers pickled, all right?
God damn it, Jim.
This started as the sick cast and ended as the yiff cast. What an adventure we've been on tonight.
You know what, Jim? We're going to go out on a high note here. And we're going to go out. We actually talked about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, how Electronic Gaming Monthly is no more. And now they have a Kickstarter to basically create a whole compendium of all 248. Hold on, I had the exact count. Where the fuck is the exact count? I think it's 264 issues. That you can get the digital copy, which is like basically a PDF of everyone they've ever done. Or you can get like just a hard cover that goes through every game they've ever reviewed. which includes over 320 pages. I think they said they've reviewed over 600 games throughout that. And, yeah, they got their goal funded in under 2.5 hours. Their initial goal was 35K. They got 95K with only 1,000 backers, which is...
Right. They're not only at 95,000. When I opened up the link to this when we first started the episode tonight, it was like 86. So it went up almost 10 grand in under an hour.
That's impressive. So with their goal, they said the available rewards, the digital copy will be $15. The hardcover is $50. The special collector's edition is $75, which includes like a poster and a special like sleeve. Then there's a super collector's edition to Turbo, which is the hardcover, the slipcase, the poster, then some pins and your name in the book as an honorary associate for $150.
Yeah. So to do some clarifying real quick, the first compendium that they're doing here isn't just like a big collection. It's like a 320-page document. That's like interviews, timelines, high points, behind the scenes stuff, new follow-up articles from people who wrote in the past. So it's like kind of like an all-in-one where more stretch goals include like, they're actually asking the community to send them scans that, or just copies of their own magazine so they can put together an all-inclusive, like, complete listing of everything for the people, for a digital archive.
You know what? I'm behind this, Jim. I like this because I think we've talked about it with Game Informer and other, like, magazines when they go away, like... It would be really a shame for it to just fully disappear or just leave it into the, like, if somebody randomly wanted to collect them. And I like this idea, like, combine them all together. If you just want the electronic, like, $15 ain't bad.
No, and at all.
If you want a hardcover, $50, that's honestly not that bad for 320 pages. This would definitely be some shit I'd get. I'd be like, oh, this is a great idea. And then I'd probably, like, open it once or twice, but then I'd just have it. Just to have it.
It's also cool because like it includes like a whole bunch of old writers from EGM, game developers like Cliff Blazinski, like, you know, good old Cliffy B from Gearbox, and Trip Hawkins, and a whole bunch of others, and even like articles from influencers and YouTubers like Happy Console Gamer, My Life in Gaming, John Riggs, and buddy of the show SNES Drunk. So it's awesome he's involved in that. So It's really bringing like, you know, fans, game devs, game writers all together. Like, it's a really cool project.
When did they... you know what? I was screwing up earlier. You should have corrected me. I was thinking Game Informer, the thing that was ending. This ended in 2014. I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. This ended ages ago.
Yeah, this... Oh, shit, man. It was out for... Bless you. It was out for 35 years. Started in March 31st, 1989. Holy shit.
Yeah, EGM's like, I talked about it before when we had other like magazine questions asked to us, but like this was like the only magazine I really have nostalgia for gaming wise, and I didn't even have a subscription, but my best friend growing up did, and I would go. I specifically remember reading the Mortal Kombat 2 edition like about 4 dozen times. Like, I would just constantly flip through that all over because it showed all the stages and the new characters. It had this big fucking honking spread of, like, Kentaro, and I was like, holy crap, what the hell is, like, oh my god, like, Super Goro, like, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It's Goro, but tiger stripes.
Rawr. Ah, Jim. Right. Goro's a yiffer. Right, no!
Don't you dare. Damn it, Jim.
Right, what has the Shokan done?
Jim, in a little bit of fun trivia, I want to see if you can get... All right, so there's 35 years worth of things, and every year they had their game of the year on their published thing. I want to see if you can get 10.
Oh, God.
So I'll go year by year. You throw it out there and see if you can get 10 of the 30. You know what? I'll say 8. See if you can get 8.
It's going to be a tall order. Because I also have to get, like, the right year of release with the right game.
No. You know what? If you want, I'll even be nice. Yeah, you know what? Just throw out 8 titles. See if you can guess them.
All right, Super Mario 3.
No.
Wow. Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
No.
Jesus! Uncharted 2?
Yes.
Okay, that's one. BioShock.
That's one. Yes.
All right. Cook with gas here. Sonic 3 and Knuckles?
No.
Sonic Adventure?
No.
Jesus. Holy shit. StarCraft?
No.
Half-Life 2?
No.
All right, Ocarina of Time. That's got to be on there.
Yes.
All right, Mario 64.
Yes.
All right, Super Mario World.
No.
Blur? Jesus. Chrono Trigger?
Nope.
Final Fantasy 7. That's got to be one.
Nope.
Final Fantasy 10?
I'll give you a hint. There's no Final Fantasies.
What the hell? Holy crap.
You're missing some really big ones here, and I'm actually shocked.
No, I mean, I'm sure I am. I'm sure I'm overthinking the hell out of this right now. Fucking hell. I'm choking here. Doom?
Nope.
Come on!
I'm loving this.
This is torch. This is hell. I'm going through hell right now. Oh, my God.
Like, some of the ones, because I'm going to read off the ones you've missed.
How about Tomb Raider? How about Tomb Raider? Let's keep it topical.
No.
Streets of Rage 2?
No. All right. Think more modern. Think of big games, more modern.
Last of Us.
Which one?
The first one.
No.
Red Dead Redemption.
Well, you missed a chance to say Last of Us 2, but...
But that Last of Us 2 was after 2014.
It was, for some reason, they have it listed here as their 2020 game. They kept their things going from 1988 till 2022.
Oh, suck my ass. Oh, God. I mean, all right, what is GTA 5?
GTA 5... No, there's no way. They have a different GTA.
GTA 3?
No.
3 Vice City, San Andreas, 4. One of them. Fuck.
4.
4?
I think, did you hit
the
8?
The boring one?
Did you hit 8? Because I want you to hear these other ones.
I think I'm up to like 6 right now or something like that. Gran Turismo, one of them?
Nope.
Just start reading them. I quit. All
right. So in 88, it was Double Dragon. In 89, it was Ghouls and Ghosts.
No! Fuck you, Ghouls and Ghosts. Get the hell out of here. That game sucks.
In 1990,
oh, no, Ghouls and Ghosts is good. Ghosts and Goblins sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1990, it was Strider.
Okay.
91, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Nah, all right.
In 92, it was Street Fighter 2, which I'm shocked you didn't get.
You know what? I was thinking too high concept, I guess.
93 was Samurai Showdown. 94 was Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, yeah.
95 was Twisted Metal.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised I gave that much love to the first one.
You got Super Mario 64. 97 was GoldenEye.
Oh, shit. Should have had that one.
You got Ocarina of Time. 99 was Soul Calibur.
Oh, it's a good choice.
2000 was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Mm.
2001, Halo.
Shit.
2002, Metroid Prime. 2003, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. 2004, Halo 2. 2005, Resident Evil 4. 2006. And I don't know if I agree with this one. Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. You got BioShock. You got GTA 4. You got Uncharted 2. You got Red Dead Redemption. 2011. This is the one I'm shocked you didn't get. Skyrim.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Should have thought of that.
2012. Far Cry 3. 2013. BioShock Infinite, which surprises me because I feel like I hear a lot of people shit on that one.
That game has gone through a lot of revisionist history.
2014, Dragon Age Inquisition. Never played. Oh,
that was huge then, yeah.
Yeah. 2015, this is another one I'm shocked you didn't get. Witcher 3.
Oh, you know what? Because I'm never going to put that much time into it. But yeah, that makes sense.
2016, Overwatch. 2017, Breath of the Wild, of course.
Oh, yeah.
18 is Red Dead Redemption 2. 2019, Control, which shocks the hell out of me.
That game, that was like the reviewer love child that year.
Yeah. And then Last of Us Part 2, 2020. 2021 was Psychonauts 2. And 2022, their last entry was Elden Ring.
Oh, all right.
So, you see, you missed a couple big ones.
Yeah, just a few.
But yeah, I'm all for, Jim, as we're talking, it was at 95K. It's up to 96K now.
Was it at 96?
I just saw the number rise.
The last time I looked down, it was at like 95 and a half, and now it's at like 96.3.
So you know what? I am all for it. I feel like there's probably a very low chance they won't come through and actually do this. So
I mean, with all the names it has tied to it now and everyone promoting it, it kind of has to, or else this will be a gigantic embarrassment for everyone involved. So it basically has to make its way through.
But Chambers, real question is, since you're too much of a bitch, what beer are you going to, finally dip into some legit pumpkin beers with the end of the season coming?
When I was at my golf outing over the weekend, I had some Pump Queens.
That has nothing to do with us. And I want you to get in the motherfucking Halloween spirit. In the next two episodes, you better have goddamn hot pumpkin beer.
But I don't want to spend money.
You spend your money, you whore.
Right.
What I'll say is the zombies are people too. As I said, if you are not a huge fan of pumpkin, this might actually be the one for you. The syrup, the vanilla, everything else kind of comes through a lot stronger. The pumpkin's more of like a, I don't want to say an aftertaste, but it's not upfront with it. And at 5.7%, it's really not strong at all. So you could easily go through it. I will warn everyone with these new trails, because they're all big boy cans, you're probably going to put out like $16 or $17 for like a 4-pack. So it's not cheap. But I would say it's worth the try.
Yeah, new trail is always pretty good. So I've never had anything that I dislike from them.
Yeah. But with that, everyone, we want to say thank you all so, so much for listening, for watching. If you are listening on iTunes or Spotify, please make sure you hit the subscribe button. And if you give us a 5-star rating, we'll read each and every one of those reviews on these Power Hour podcasts. And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you hit the notification bell, hit like, hit subscribe, and comment below what you liked and didn't like. Like Jim showing me that goddamn write-up from that goddamn writer.
Right, what was worse, reading those write-ups or learning about Yiffing?
You know, it was all just, can't say the word, but it was all a mental assault. I felt like I felt like I was attacked by some Slagoths as I read both of those.
Brian went to Flavor Country. He had sensory overload from pleasure.
So with that, guys, we want to say thank you. Have a good night. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.